Now next week, we'll take a little break from Isaiah for one Sunday. We'll actually look at the resurrection of Christ by looking at Ephesians chapter 2, so you might want to read ahead. But to this week, as we continue our study in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 42, verses 18 through 20. Isaiah 42, verses 18 through 20. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. Now, first of all, let me admit that this is a challenging passage. But that's actually a good thing, because we often need to be challenged. We often need to be prodded and poked into obedience. Today we see that the servant of the Lord is both deaf and blind. What a remarkable thing that the servant of the Lord would be deaf and blind and commanded to hear, commanded to see. But the servant is deaf and blind. But this is not the servant with a capital S that we saw in chapter 42, verse 1, a precursor, you know, looking forward to Christ Jesus as the servant. But this is rather the servant with a lower case S, which is representative of the people of God. And this servant includes the people of Judah during Isaiah's day, the people of God all through the ages, and also includes us today. We as the servant of God are both deaf and blind. And we need to admit, on the basis of this passage, that there is a certain amount of blindness and deafness that resides in each and every one of us. Now, I'm not talking about the type of deafness that requires me to wear hearing aids, nor the type of blindness that might require glasses or contact lenses or cataract surgery. We're actually here talking about spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness. These things that keep us from both hearing and obeying the word of the Lord. And each one of us, if we were truly honest, would recognize that we are somewhat blind and deaf to the things of God. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul tells us that now we see in a mirror dimly, but there will come a time when we see God face to face, when there's no longer any impediment. Now in our day and age, we might be blessed, or in my case possibly cursed, to have mirrors that reflect our images almost perfectly. But that was not the case in Paul's day. That was not the case in the ancient world. Many of the mirrors of that day were made out of hammered bronze. And they really gave an imperfect reflection. They didn't have the technology we have today. So when Paul talks about seeing in a mirror dimly, that's the type of image. You've got something that doesn't really reflect quite properly, and you're seeing your image in it. But one day you'll be able to see face to face. And right now, that's where we're at. Right now, we're in that world of seeing in a mirror dimly. There's something obscuring our full view, our complete view of God and His truth. Now, in admitting our deafness and blindness, we need to recognize that as a result of that, that we're totally dependent upon the revelation that God has given us. First, we need to understand that the revelation that we have received from God is limited. Now by that, I don't mean that He hasn't given us everything that we need in His Word for salvation and holiness, because He certainly has. He's given us all that we need to know. But in reality, even with the revelation that God has given us in His Word, we're still just scratching the surface when it comes to an understanding of God in all of His majesty, in all of His person, in all of His attributes. What we know of God is limited to that which He has chosen to reveal to us at this time. And in reality, isn't that a really good thing? Because it allows us in eternity to continue to see Him revealed and to continue that continual discovery of His wonder. Second, we need to understand that we are incapable of fully understanding God, even if He was to give us a complete revelation. That is because the finite, which is what we are, is completely incapable of understanding the infinite. It is beyond our earthly ability right now to understand the deep things of God. We have a limited capacity, and as a result, we cannot comprehend that which is without measure. How do you measure something that never ends? How do you define that which is beyond definition? That small amount of knowledge that we do have right now is so terribly incomplete, it could never do justice to Him in His perfection. The imperfect cannot comprehend the perfect. The finite cannot comprehend the infinite. Just that tiny bit of knowledge we have should be enough to show us that in many ways we're blind, we're deaf. And once again realize, as I mentioned before, that we already have all the revelation we need. Even if it isn't exhaustive, even if we would want to have more, we have all that we need. Third, and most painfully, we are deaf and blind because we choose not to obey that which has already been revealed to us. If we did obey what God has revealed to us, we would never choose to sin. It's as simple as that. We don't sin because it is thrust upon us, because it's something that we can't control. After all, God always gives an avenue of escape when temptation comes, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No, we choose to sin because that is what we want to do. Being blinded to God's truth that all sin incurs wrath, and being deaf to His pleas that we should be holy as He is holy, we choose to disobey the revelation that we have already received. Now, Jesus dealt with this in His encounters with the religious leaders of His day. In John chapter 9, He heals a man who was born blind. Before the healing, His disciples asked Him who had sinned that this man was born blind. Was it that man or his parents? Was it their sin that was responsible for his blindness? And even while recognizing that all blindness is the result of sin, Jesus did not attribute the sin of any one party to this situation. Instead, He told His listeners, but that man was born blind in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, that man was born blind in order that he would be standing before Jesus on that very day in order to receive healing. The purpose of God in his blindness was for Jesus to be revealed as the healer of blindness. And he healed him. But for the religious leaders of Jesus' day, his great sin, as they considered it, was that he had the audacity to perform this healing on the Sabbath day. They hated him for delivering a man from his blindness on the wrong day, according to them. How dare he violate the Sabbath, even though it was he himself who had ordained that Sabbath? And when the man who had been healed gave testimony to the healing work of Jesus, the religious leaders cast him out of the synagogue. And after encouraging this man that was healed, Jesus said these words, "For judgment, I have come into this world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." And some of those Pharisees overheard him say those words. And they came to him and they said, "Are we also blind?" Now they knew that Jesus was talking about them. He knew that he was claiming that those people who say that they can see are actually very blind. And here was Jesus' response to them at that time. "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." What a stunning rebuke. But instead of them recognizing their blindness, instead of them repenting of their sin, they actually hated him even more, plotting his destruction. Now there is a stern warning for us in that encounter. We should never allow our pride to dictate that we have a monopoly on the knowledge of the holy. We should always be humble and always be open for correction. For example, I've now pastored this church for more than 30 years. And I'm certainly glad that some of my early preaching from those early years is not available for you to listen to today. Since I recognize now that some of my early messages were actually an absolute train wreck, I taught things from the pulpit that, and even if they weren't outright heresy, never went that far. I thank God that wasn't the case. But I taught some things from the pulpit that were often lacking in a proper focus on the gospel, or did not properly convey the meaning of the text. In many ways, there was too much of me in some of those messages, and not enough of what Christ wanted. In those days, I actually felt that my seminary degree made me a perfect arbiter of God's word. And in many ways, there wasn't a lot of humility. But I've now come to realize that even at my best, I'm still totally dependent upon God when it comes to proclaiming His Word. I need to approach the Word humbly, and I need to allow God to direct my words. In fact, I've now come to realize that I am both deaf and blind, and have a great need to have both His illumination and His direction. I also need to admit that sometimes still, I still need correction, both in what I say as well as in how I act. This is what it means to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It's not just preachers in the pulpit, it's all of us in our Christian life. We need to have the humility to be open to correction. We need to have the humility to know that we're not always right. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We should never approach the Word of God with our own agenda and try to force it and mold it into what we want it to say. Instead, we need to allow the Word to set the agenda. And we need to let it direct both our words and our conduct. If we say we see, but we don't understand just how limited our vision is, then we are still in our blindness. So while it might be strange to read in our text today, "Who is blind but my servant?" or "Who is as blind as my dedicated one?" or "Who is as blind as the servant of the Lord?" we need to understand that a recognition of our blindness is the beginning of that process of having our eyes opened. If we think that we are not blind, if we depend upon our own understanding, then we are no way fitted for His service. Only in confessing our blindness and our deafness can we hope that He will open our eyes and unstop our ears in order to hear and to obey His truth. There is also a need for constant repentance. In verse 20 we read, "He sees many things but does not observe them. His ears are open but He does not hear." We need to confess that we have not obeyed what God has commanded, that we have chosen to rebel against His revelation to us. As I said earlier, if we truly saw and heard what God proclaims, we would not sin. The fact that we still engage in sin shows that we haven't yet seen, we haven't yet heard. I long with yearning for that day when the faith will be sight and when we obey Him perfectly and forever. But that day is still in the future. Right now, we still struggle daily with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, there is a word of encouragement for us in our text today, even if we do not see perfectly or hear properly. In verse 19, the blind servant is the one that he sends, and the one that is blind is his servant. Even in our blindness, even though we don't see all things clearly, we can still be the servants of the Most High. If He didn't send out blind servants, He could send no one at all other than His Son. The encouragement to us is that we don't need to be perfect in order to be used by God. Far too often we think that we can't go to our neighbor and tell him about Christ because we're still struggling with our sin. The devil tells us that we aren't good enough, and we choose to believe that lie and remain silent. But the truth is that there has ever only been one perfect servant of the Lord, and that is Christ Jesus. All the rest of us have been blind and deaf and stained by sin. All the rest of us have deficiencies and sins. All the rest of us are unworthy for the task placed before us. But aren't you glad, aren't you personally glad that an imperfect messenger came to you and told you about the perfect one? Aren't you glad that that person didn't let their unworthiness keep you from hearing the gospel? Look at the people who came out to greet Jesus as He came into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday, that Sunday before His crucifixion. They proclaimed Hosanna. They gave Him praise. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Yet these same people called for His death just a few short days later. The ones who gave worship were the same people who sinned against Him. Yet sinners as they were, God allowed them to announce the coming of the Messiah. And we are much the same. We might proclaim His goodness to our neighbor one day, and yet denounce Him in our sin on another. There are no perfect witnesses. All of us are deaf and blind in one way or another. And even recognizing that, we still need to proclaim His goodness to our neighbor and to others, even if we think we're unworthy. Now, thankfully, our salvation is not based upon the perfection of the messenger who tells us the gospel news, but rather it is based on the perfection to which they testify. We may not be perfect, but Christ is. We may be corrupted by our sin, but there was no corruption in Him. We may not tell the story perfectly, but the story itself is perfect. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He suffered and bled on the cross as the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He rose victorious over death in order to defeat death for us. He is coming back one day in order to bring judgment upon all sin, to exercise the wrath of God against all rebellion, and to give reward to His children. And it is He who opens our eyes and unstops our ears in order that we might repent and believe. It might be right now, during the hearing of this perfect truth from the lips of this unworthy and imperfect messenger, that God might grant you faith in the finished work of Christ. He calls on you today to turn from your sin in repentance and to turn to Him in faith and trust. Yes, He opens the eyes of the blind, and He does that as well today as when He walked the earth 2,000 years ago. But when He opens our eyes to His truth, and when He gives us spiritual ears to hear, We need to continue to recognize that our sight is still limited, and our ears are still somewhat deaf. Only in that way do we crucify our pride and not end up in the same position as those religious leaders, those hypocrites of Jesus' day. May we never be numbered with those who claim to see and yet remain in darkness. Instead, let us see that He must be our eyes and trust that He will lead us into sight and deliver us from our remaining blindness, that He must pour into our ears the words of life and trust Him to give us a right understanding of that truth. Yes, we are deaf and we are blind, but not so blind that we cannot see if He grants us sight, and not so deaf that we cannot hear if He gives us ears to hear that truth. Let me ask you, take your hymnal as we sing our hymn of dedication now, 502. Open my eyes that I may see. If you look at verse 1, open my eyes. Verse 2, open my ears. And then verse 3, open my mouth and let me be that herald of truth, even if my sight and my hearing are imperfect.